Our gospel writers don't even give us a good story on why. John and Matthew don't even mention Jesus' ascension in their gospel. Mark and Luke give us a little paragraph of how the risen Jesus at the end ascended into heaven. And Luke even gives us two different stories, one you heard in Acts and one you heard in the gospel. So even the gospel writers couldn't give us a good why did Jesus ascend to heaven. And with the mood of this weekend, our minds are filled not only with why did Jesus ascend, but it starts getting filled with a lot of whys. Why is there the war in Ukraine? Why, especially, is there a loss of innocent life? Why did Jesus have to go? Well, Jesus himself tells us why he had to go. In the Gospel of John on chapter 16, Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth. It is for your benefit that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So why did Jesus have to go? In order for the Advocate to come. Now that's about as clear as mud. Isn't Jesus our best advocate? Wouldn't he have been our best advocate for not only our faith, but for our lives, if he had stayed? And with this year with heavy hearts, that explanation just doesn't seem like enough for us. To be honest with you, I racked my brain to try to find a good reason why Jesus had to ascend to his Father. And I came up with first, I actually blame Jesus a little bit for this. Maybe at least the gospel writers. Because Jesus constantly in our gospel say, "Follow me." He gets the apostles, he says, "Follow me." They follow him for 3 years. And then near the end, he says, "Well, where I'm going, you can't come." And then he goes. But as I thought about it, I thought the only thing that made sense to me is for us to think of Jesus as like a teacher or a parent. And a teacher or a parent, their mission is to impart knowledge to their kids and then to prepare them to go. No parent, I think, wants their child to stay in their house for the rest of their lives. A teacher's vocation is to see that child go forth better off than when they started them. So if we look at Jesus as a teacher or a parent, it begins to make a little sense. Okay, Jesus couldn't stay because he wants us to spread his word. He wants us to spread the faith, just like a teacher or a parent. And I know that that's kind of like a weak explanation. And it didn't satisfy also why Jesus, why God doesn't give us why. He doesn't tell us, Jesus doesn't say why I'm going. So if you don't get a good why from God, why is it? Why doesn't God tell us why more often? God is so other than us. He's so different than us that we are like little children in our relationship with God. And think about how we are with our children. We can't and don't, because we can't, always tell our children why we're doing something. As our 2-year-old or 3-year-old is about to run across a crowded street and we grab them by the arm and pull them back, we can't explain to them, "Well, honey, you got to know that we don't want you to be hit by a car. You want blah, blah, blah." All they say is, "Mommy, you hurt my arm. Why did you pull on me?" That's what they remember. When a teacher is teaching some subject and the child says, "Well, what am I going to ever use this?" We can't explain to them why it's important that they learn this. Potty training. How do you explain to a child why they need to go on the potty? As far as a kid's concerned, they'd like to be in diapers the rest of their lives, okay? We bribe them. We tell them stories. We want them to be like big girls and boys. And we want them to go on the potty. But why, we can't explain it to them. So if we want to look at our relationship with God in that way, that gives me a good reason why we don't get all our whys. Because God can't explain what's going on in the world. Now, if you don't like that explanation, and it doesn't sit well with you, I want to give you another one. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to like this one that much either. I want you to listen to this carefully. Your life on earth is not the most important thing to you. Your life on earth is not the most important thing to you. The most important thing to you is your life in Christ. Let me say it a different way. You may lose your life here, and that's not the worst thing that can happen to you. The worst thing that can happen to you is you lose your life in Christ. Now, I'm going to let you ponder that for a while, and I want you to think, is what's more important to you, your life here or your life in Christ? And as you ponder that, you may also understand a little bit more of why God doesn't tell us why. The Feast of the Ascension, I've looked, and there is no good theological explanation better than what Jesus said and better than what I told you today. Why the resurrected Jesus, in his risen form, didn't appear to everybody in the world? Why didn't he go to Rome? Why didn't he stay? Why didn't he tell everybody so that everybody in this world is Catholic? Because everybody knows that Jesus rose from the dead. Why didn't he do that? In our sober mood today, not hearing why for the ascension makes it even more painful to us. Because when we see things going on in our world that are terrible, we want to and demand from God, why? In God's mercy, when he doesn't give us why, he gives us what. He tells us what he will do for us. He says, and Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going away, but I will return. The very last sentence in Matthew's gospel is, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus and God doesn't give us a good why, they give us a good what. And does that help us? Does that enough for us? Let me put it back in our court. What do we do? Because I just said there's circumstances that we can't tell our children why. What do we do when we can't tell them why? I was a pediatrician for many, many years. I had to do a lot of hurtful things to kids. I had to do spinal taps. I had to put IVs in them. I had to sew them up. I couldn't tell them why. All I could tell them is, it's done. We're all done. All done. Parents couldn't tell them why this person is putting a needle in them. In fact, they couldn't, and most parents, because they couldn't tell them why, they wanted to be with them. Can I be with them when you're doing this? Let me hold them when you're doing this. Let me help. They wanted to be present. And you think that'd be counterintuitive. You'd think if you were holding your child while I was putting a needle in them, that they'd be saying, Mommy, why are you letting them do this to me? Isn't that what we ask God when we want a why? God, why are you doing this to me? While he's holding us. And the kids did get comfort from the mothers holding them. And so when we can't give our kids whys, we give them what? We hold them. We say, we'll be here. Don't worry. We won't leave you alone. God's response, when we ask why, he consoles us. He says, I can't tell you why, but I can be here and hold you. And when we demand a why, we get silence from God. But it's not silence in aloneness. It's silence in comfort. God may not give us many whys, but he comforts us with those whats. And that promise that no matter what, he will be with us. If you are frustrated with the stuff that's going on in the world, and you're frustrated with God because he's not telling us why, even in the midst of terrible, terrible tragedy and innocent life being lost, can you be content with God's what? His promise to be with us to the end. And if you can, and if you're trusting of God, that God will be with us to the end, no matter what, will that be enough for you to let your hearts not be troubled?